You're listening to A1R Psychic Radio, Earth's number one psychic radio network, and watching Moonstruck TV and Lightning Television. Welcome. Time for Amanda Hall Psychic with Amanda Hall. Live from AmandaHallPsychic.com.au. Connect direct. In North America, dial 888-454-2751. In London, 203-519-2158. In Sydney, dial 02-8488-3147. Or online, contact us through our Facebook page, Facebook.com/Psychic Radio.
Or one of our websites,
AskOneRadio.com or Moonstruck.tv. This is Amanda Hall Psychic on A1R, the Ask One Radio Network.
Welcome to A1R Psychic Radio here on Moonstruck TV with Amanda Hall Psychic, all the way from the Gold Coast. Hope you're having an absolutely sensational, fantastic week wherever you are as we head towards the pointy end of the year where everybody's starting to gear up for the holiday season. And, you know, we do that here in Australia in probably a different way to you guys do, because in the Northern Hemisphere where it's nice and cold and starting to snow and everybody's starting to rug up and drink hot chocolate, we're here reaching for something cold and a fan and sort of, you know, getting the shade. So it's a very different sort of lifestyle. But it's interesting at the moment with so many planetary configurations and three planets going retrograde. The world seems to be in a little bit of chaos at the moment, but we'll talk about that in a minute. So we're going to look at the Simply Tarot card of the week, which is the Nine of Pentacles. Now, the Nine of Pentacles is peace of mind. Now, wouldn't this be something that we'd all like at the moment, is a little bit of peace of mind out of all the chaos that's been going on around the world, to just to be able to be chilled like that woman, have a bird on your shoulder and just sort of say, let the world just pass you by. I'm feeling very, very peaceful. I'm feeling very, very calm. And I know a lot of people aren't feeling that way at the moment, but when I drew this card before the show, I thought this was a turning point, that maybe things were starting to settle down around the world, that people are going to start to feel a little bit more peaceful, a little bit more as if they've got a bit of peace of mind, a bit of tranquility, a bit of calmness coming back into this mad, crazy world as it's been recently. And it has been a very tumultuous time for lots of people, because there's been lots of things that have been out of their control that they haven't been able to sort of work through and sort of look at, you know, sort of like they've been stuck between a rock and a hard place and being dictated to by other people. And it's not necessarily their issues, they've had to sort of conform with what's been going on around them. So hopefully this card symbolizes the turning point, that we've got, you know, peace and tranquility coming towards all of us. Now, it's a big week astrologically. I think I say that every week, or I seem to feel like I do. But we have got quite a major plethora of planets sort of really dominating the astrological landscape this week. And it's more the focus is on the water signs this week more than anything, because we've got three planets sitting in Scorpio, and we've got two planets sitting in Pisces, which is also a water sign. So there's quite a bit of emphasis on the water signs. When you look at, we only have 10 planets and half of them are sitting in water. So no wonder we're feeling a little bit sort of stretched. We're feeling as if our emotions have been put through the ringer, because there's so much emphasis on that so many things that we're being pulled in so many different directions. So happy birthday to the Scorpios. It's a very interesting time of the year. It's when people sort of start to take a little bit of stock. But for the Scorpios, it's their time to shine. It's their time to sort of go out, party, celebrate, have a piece of cake, do something really special for yourself, and sort of celebrate the fact that you've made another year. You know, like, I mean, as we get older, we tend to sort of not want to celebrate our birthdays. And I think we should, because it's a milestone to say that we've been here for another year. We've achieved another year. We've survived the changes that are coming about in the world. And as you get older, I think you have less tolerance to some of the new ideas that youth brings in, or new ways of looking at things. And you think, oh, gee, I long for the good old days when things were simpler. I don't know whether they were that much simpler when we were younger. It's just that's how we perceive things. And the generation that's, you know, coming through now, the younger generation in their early 20s, when they get, you know, more senior years, they'll sort of turn around and think back the same way, I'm sure. So it's a time to be enjoyed, no matter what stage of life you're at. Enjoy where you are and enjoy this very intense, very exciting time of the year, because the Scorpio energy can be intense, but it's also asking us to look at our emotions. It's asking us to dig deep. It's asking each and every sign to sort of look under the crevices, look under the covers, look under the hidden areas for things in your life that might need sorting out. This is the time to do it. You've got the power of the Scorpio energy, no matter what your star sign is. is to get answers, is to find answers in places that you didn't look before. And it's a time when we can sort of go into this and understand and work with this very deep emotion that most of the time that we sort of brush to one side, oh, it's all too scary. Well, now's the time to embrace it. And, you know, we only have a few days left. So let's just make the most of what we've got left in this last little bit of the Scorpio energy and don't squander it. Pardon me. We also have the moon, the emotional planet, is sitting in Scorpio at the moment, pardon me, holding hands or conjunct with Venus, the planet of love and affection. Now, I want to say to you here with the moon sitting here, the moon moves very quickly. The moon moves very quickly. Every 2.5 days, the moon changes signs. So the moon doesn't sit somewhere very long for very long at all. It's something that moves so quickly that sometimes we even forget that the moon's there, that it triggers emotions that we think, oh, it's just having an off day yesterday. But it wasn't so much you were having an off day. It's a matter of that the moon was influencing your decisions or your emotions or how you were handling things. And with the moon in Scorpio, this is a very intense moon. And it doesn't matter what your star sign is, you will be affected by this moon. It's sort of, you know, you might get out of bed and you might be feeling a little bit under the weather. You might be feeling a little bit betwitched in between with your emotions. And some people will just feel a heaviness and sort of say, I don't even know whether I want to face today. And other people will be saying, you beauty, I feel energized. I'm ready to tackle the world. I'm ready to tackle some of those really tough issues that I've been putting off recently because I didn't feel that I was ready to tackle the very deep, big emotional issues that have been confronting me. So whichever basket that you fall into, it's right for you. Don't look at it on a negative. Look at it very much on a positive, that this is where you're meant to be. Now, the fact that it's conjunct Venus, the planet of love and affection, it is going to affect matters of the heart. So let's break this down a little bit more. So it's definitely affecting Scorpios. All the other water signs, which is Pisces, Cancer, and the opposite sign of Taurus. It will wash over the remaining 8 signs, but nowhere near as intense. So if you've got emotional issues that need to be sorted out, now is the time to do so. Now is the time to bring it up in the next 24 hours and try and resolve them. Try and get things that we can sort of say that, okay, we're now back in the driver's seat. We're back in control of where we need to be, that we can start to resolve these emotional issues that have been rolling around our lives for a little while now. And it's now time to sort of try and present them in a positive, calm sort of manner and try and work through them with the other person. That's really important. So we have Mercury, the planet of communication, is going retrograde at the moment, is in Sagittarius. Now, this is really creating havoc with the fire signs, let me assure you. This week with work, I've noticed just about every client I've dealt with has been a fire sign, and they're all saying to me, I don't know what to do. Everything seems to feel as if it's out of control. Nobody's listening to me. I'm not getting my answers. I'm not progressing at work. Things aren't moving forward. Well, yes, that can be Mercury retrograde. But you've got to understand, Mercury goes retrograde 3 times a year for approximately 3 weeks at a time. Now, this is a time in our lives where no matter what your star sign is, it's asking us to slow down. It's asking us to regroup. It's asking us to sort of put some things on the back burner. If you don't need to have a serious conversation with your boss about a raise, then don't do so until after the retrograde is over. If you don't need to send that parcel, then don't do so. Wait until the retrograde is over. Because this is the time when parcels go awry, airports, lose your luggage, anything that you can think of, technology plays up, you know, your computer programs all of a sudden get a mind of their own and do something completely incredibly difficult or wrong, and you spend the next 10 hours trying to fix it, and it's like the blind leading the blind and you don't know why it happened. You know, 1 minute it was working perfectly fine and the next minute it's got a mind of its own. That's a Mercury retrograde. Now, the best thing I can suggest in a Mercury retrograde is do as little as possible. If you don't have to make a serious decision, then don't. If you do have to make a serious decision and you have to sign a contract or something like that, make sure you read it out aloud and read it out aloud a number of times. And the reasons why I suggest that is by reading it out aloud, you will pick up if there's a mistake, if there's a wrong figure, if there's a wrong word in the wrong place. Where if you just read it, you'll skim over it and think, oh, yeah, that looks right, and you sign it. And then you go back later and say, how could I have been so stupid? This is a Mercury retrograde. If I have to sign anything, under a Mercury retrograde for all my years in astrology was one of the first things I learned was read it out aloud, and read it out aloud at least three times. And that way, hopefully, you'll pick up anything that's not right. So the Mercury retrograde, good news is it finishes on the 27th. We can't say hallelujah quick enough. But you've got to allow a couple of days past that for the retrograde to sort of slow down, stand still, and then Mercury to start to sort of move forward again. It's really important that we allow that little bit of time for Mercury to ramp up again. Now, we also have two other retrogrades that I want to talk about, because it's retrograde season at the moment, and it's really affecting a lot of people. And people are sort of saying, I don't understand why I'm feeling so thingy with my energy. And this is the reasons why. When we have three major planets like that retrograde at the moment, it really does affect each and every one of us. That's why I said it's mainly the water signs that are copying it at the moment, but we've got two other planets that are sitting in retrograde that are in Pisces, which is also water, which is going to affect the Pisces, Cancer, Scorpio and the Virgos, but it's going to affect each and every one of us, no matter what your star sign is. The first one is Saturn. Saturn is the planet of discipline. It's the planet of structure. It's where we sort of start to sort of find answers and sort of need to slow down or sort of put a solid foundation underneath us to be able to move forward. Now, Saturn is asking each and every one of us to make sure that we've shored up anything that's creative, anything that's special, anything that, no matter what your star sign is, anything that you've been working on in a creative endeavor, make sure you've got a good solid foundation underneath it. Make sure you've dotted all the I's, crossed all the T's, and that everything is where it should be. Because once Saturn starts to go direct again and it'll move into Aries, there will not be the time to come back and correct these things. So Saturn retrograde will be there till the 27th of November or November 27, allowing two or three days after that for Saturn to start to gear up and go forward again. But it's a really important time. And I've noticed with a lot of my Pisces clients, some people have had silly little accidents, you know, broken a bone or done something to slow them down. So obviously, this was Saturn's way of saying, hang on a minute, you haven't quite completed what the lessons were. And I've taken the opportunity away from you. You've got to sit there now and contemplate your navel and understand what it is that you've missed or you haven't completed yet. So you don't want to be in that category. So the final one is Neptune. Neptune is also in Pisces at the moment. Now, Neptune is retrograde, also affecting the water signs, as I said, but washing over all the others. Now, Neptune's the planet of illusion and delusion, but it's also where our creativity comes from. So, you know, we wouldn't have love songs if somebody hadn't had a broken heart. You know, so, you know, we have different songs or different types of creativity for different reasons. And quite often creativity comes out of a negative or not so positive experience. It spurs us on to do something to make ourselves feel better or to want to bring something nice and pleasant to the world. So Neptune's role here is not necessarily to deceive you. It can be, only if you let it. If you haven't been looking at your life squarely and you continue to keep looking at things through rose-coloured glasses and don't take them off and don't want to learn from anything, then that's fine. That's Neptune will come along and wave his big stick and make you learn. But for most of us, we're aware of it, we're working on it, we're conscious of it, and we're sort of saying, well, okay, show me the way. Show me the way forward. Show me the way out of the fog. I'm open to learn. I'm open and I'm ready. And this is what Neptune is asking of each and every one of us, and this is really important. So Neptune will be retrograde until December 4. So, you know, it's nice to sort of see as we move into the month of December that most of these retrogrades are out of the road and we've got a clear run till Christmas. So we're going to talk with Talitha in Manchester in England. And I'm sorry, Talitha, if I've mentioned your name wrong. How are you today?
I'm getting there, thank you.
Okay. Do you have a question I can answer for you, Talitha?
I don't.
Do you have a question you'd like me to answer for you?
Just if there's any spirit messages coming through, really. I've had a bit going on. I just wanted to see if there was anything. Yeah.
Okay. In such a short time that we've got on the show, spirit doesn't always sort of come through and say, hey, I'm here and I'm Uncle Fred or whoever. They quite often just give me sort of little snippets of things that, you know, if you haven't got a direct question, they'll just sort of throw different things at me. And that's why I always ask to see whether you've got a direct question, so I make sure I address why you phoned into the show. the first thing that they were showing me, Talitha, was this year has been a difficult year for you, where there's been a lot of stop-start stuff going on, has it not?
Yeah.
And it's, they're showing me that's now coming to an end. It was a very clear, this will come to an end at the end of this month, and you can exhale and go, oh, thank goodness, you know, I can sort of finally feel like I can breathe. I finally feel like I can start to make plans and things will start to come right. And that's a good thing. It hasn't been a punishment. I want to be very clear on that. It has not been a punishment. It was just that you got so clever and you got a little bit ahead of where you should have been in your life that they had to slow you up. So it was sort of like you got to the bus stop 2 hours early. So they had to slow you up.
I got that, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, sometimes that's frustrating because we work so hard to try and work with spirit and, you know, understand our energies and what they're trying to share with us and sort of, you know, and then you go ahead and get ahead of the bus time. You think, well, that wasn't much fun. You know, I've had this stop start, but they're showing me 2026 is going to be a lot clearer. They're also showing me a very, very ginormous pink heart. So does that mean that you're looking for love?
It's a tough one with the love side of things. Like, I'm single, but I wanted to eventually settle down with someone,
Yeah, well, they're showing me an oversized pink heart. Normally when they do that, that usually is their symbol to me of new love coming in. So I'm certainly going to say, write your list of what you want and don't leave anything out. You know, if you want a man with his own teeth, say so. If you want him to have a certain hair colour, say so. No, but you've got to be precise. Yeah. Otherwise, the universe doesn't know what you want. We don't go to the supermarket and just get the trolley and willy-nilly throw products in there. We stop, we look, we think, we do our meal planning. So we've got to look at it in the same way. What sort of person do I want in my life? What sort of person is going to compliment me? Somebody that I can enjoy being with and have loads of fun with, because, you know, being in love has got to be about fun too. It can't always be about serious stuff. So there's certainly somebody coming in around March next year. I'm going to say I've got a funny feeling that he feels familiar. I'm not saying necessarily somebody you've dated before, but somebody that you knew or you knew of. There's a familiar feel around this man. It's not like a brand new situation. And I'm feeling very, very comfortable with him. He's got a nice smile. Now, don't laugh when I say this, but I'd like to see him get his teeth fixed.
Yeah.
He's got such a smile and he's got crooked teeth. He needs, you know, if he got them fixed, straightened up a bit, I think his smile would be absolutely magnificent. They don't often show me things quite that explicitly, but look, he's a lovely, lovely man. He's going to treat you well. You have lots of fun. Did you used to do a lot of walking in the Highlands or something?
I did do a lot of walking. It was in different places, but it's like I did walk in the countryside a few times, yeah.
They're showing me a lot of walks in the countryside together and, you know, having a picnic and things like that. I wouldn't think that would be the sort of thing I'd want to do in the middle of winter, but, you know, like as the weather warms up, you know, you do lots of different things, but he likes to sort of get out in the fresh air and stand on top of the, you know, the mountain sort of thing and say, isn't this wonderful? So I think there's going to be a very varied and wonderful relationship there. But anyway, Talitha, enjoy what's coming your way and just know that you've been a bit ahead of the bus timetable and that's why they had to slow you up this year, sweetie.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, darling, that's where we're going to leave it. You're very welcome. Have a nice Christmas. We're going to talk with Patricia now in Bayboro in North Carolina. Are you there, Patricia?
I am here.
Do you have a question I can answer for you, please, Patricia?
I am just wondering what my professional career looks like.
Okay. All right. I just want to be very clear. They never show me actually what people do for a living. They just show me symbolism around, you know, whether the job's right for you or whether you should change. It's interesting because what's coming up around you is I feel you're bored with what you're doing. That's what they're showing me. It's sort of like there's no excitement in it anymore. There's nothing that makes me get excited to get out of bed. I can't wait to get because I'm really excited about today's projects. So having said that, look, sometimes that's a good place to be while we sort of regroup. You know, sometimes I think we're too busy trying to look for the next Mount Everest to climb that we don't sort of stay where we are and just enjoy the time, you know, basking in the glory for a little while. And that's what I want to see you do, because I feel after March next year, I think things are going to ramp up again and you're going to start to get itchy feet again and think, what next? But up until then, I want to see you sort of just bask in the glory a little bit. Do you know what I mean? Like, give yourself a little bit of a break. You don't always have to be in top gear. You know, we can slow down a little bit, enjoy the festive season, enjoy your family. And that's important because you give so much to everybody else, Patricia, but you never give to yourself. And I want you now to be the first in the queue.
I'm trying.
And that's really important. Yeah, I know. And it's hard. Yeah. It's hard when you've always been such a giver to turn around and put yourself at the front of the queue, because it's always, you see, somebody else has a greater need than you. You got to practice this.
Yeah.
You know, you got to get out of bed every day and practice it in little ways, putting yourself first. And eventually it will become natural that you'll have a process of elimination of, yes, I'm first, no, you're second. Oh, okay, you can go first today. You know, it'll become automatic. But after March next year, when you start to get restless again with work, I actually feel there's going to be two companies that are going to approach you. It's not people that you're approaching. They're coming to you. They're headhunting you. Now, as much as that's nice, I don't want you to just get caught up in the excitement of, oh, wow, they want me. I want you to really seriously look at what's on the table. There's no point in changing jobs unless it's an improvement.
Yes, honestly.
You know, it's not just about money. It's got to be about.
Yeah. I'm towards
the end of my career. Of your working career. Yeah, I understand that. And I'm saying with this is, go on. What I was picking up with these two situations, these two companies that are offering you something, as much as they're nice, I want to make sure they're right for you. You know what I mean? There's no point in jumping ship and getting back into a situation where you're so busy you haven't got time for you again. Do you know what I mean? Like,
no amount
of money takes away.
Yes. Yes, I understand, as much as it's flattering,
you might turn around and say,
no,
thank you very much, but I'm not interested in seeing where you are. And that's okay.
Completely.
But, you know, you
will.
And that's good, because I feel that 2026 is going to be a year of change for you. There will be opportunities there, but you don't have to take them all. You know, you're in a position of choice now. Yeah. You can say thank you, but no thank you. It doesn't suit me.
I
get the strong feeling that you may very well stay where you are, but you might go into a different role.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm hoping so.
That's my feeling.
Yeah, good,
that's my feeling. But
glad.
As I said, around March, two opportunities, two different companies trying to headhunt you. You can always gracefully decline. After that, I think it's probably another 2 or 3 months with the current company that you're with before the new potential opens up of a new role. And I think it could very well be something brand new, like nobody's worked in that role before. And it'll be perfect for you, because you're very good at pioneering things, of putting procedures in place and, you know, ironing out the bugs, and it's just perfect.
Yeah.
It's a nice way, in my opinion, to finish your career off, to be able to leave a legacy.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, and it's nice. And I don't even know that you're going to, you know, you might have had ideas of sort of maybe retiring in 2027. I think it'll be a little bit further than that out. But I think it'll be a gradual thing. I don't think it'll be just work one day and none the next day. I think you'll gradually scale it back until, you know, it's your choice then whether you go in a day or two a week or not, or whether you sort of say, I'm not coming in for a month. I don't think you're the sort of person, Patricia, that can really just retire. You need something to do.
Yeah.
Even if that's your transition into a... Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
So
that's a really difficult time in your life, isn't it?
I really do need something to do, yeah.
Oh, of course. And, you know, losing your husband is, you know, there's no magic cure for how long before you start to feel human again. I mean, you know, the first 12 months is the hardest because you look back to what you were doing this time last year and, you know, each person is different. If I can make a suggestion of a book for you to read, it's called On Death and Dying by Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. She spent her life writing books and working with grief, and it's the best book, I believe, still on the market today. You can pick it up in most good bookstores. Most libraries have it. It's called On Death and Dying by Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, and that will help you. Even if you don't read it from cover to cover, you just open it up and read a section, you'll be drawn to what you need to know today. And, you know, it's a difficult time, and people sort of tend to sort of, you know, they're there at the beginning and then all of a sudden they all desert you because it's like they don't want to catch it, you know, and they don't allow you to talk about your tears and your frustration and the loss. And you need to be able to talk about it. And we don't handle grief properly, in my opinion. We should have 12 months of where you can talk openly, cry openly, do whatever, and then after the, you know, 12 months and one day, then put a pretty dress on and go out and have a life again. But we don't do that. We sort of tend to give people that immediate attention, and then we think they've got leprosy and we avoid them. And that's the wrong thing to do. Yeah. But that book, When I Was Widowed, was a great comfort to me, and it's still a book I recommend today. So, you know, I know what you're going through and I know what you're about to go through, and it's not going to be easy, but you will get there. And, you know, just allow yourself to be yourself, Patricia. You know, if you feel like crying, then cry. Don't let people tell you that you should be at a certain stage. There is no rules for grief, none whatsoever.
Yeah.
It's a personal journey.
Yeah.
And talk to him. Have a talk before you go to sleep, you know. If you're cranky with him, tell him. If you want to know, that's good. Because that helps with the grieving process, but it also helps keep the connection with the other side too. He doesn't just want you saying nice things to him. He wants to know that you're unhappy or you're cranky with him or the leg fell off the chair. He needs to know these things. So he still feels part of it too. But he's around you all the time, Patricia, and he still loves
you. I'm glad. Thank you.
Yes, sweetheart. That's where we're going to leave Patricia. And, look, my heart goes out to Patricia. I know what it's like to be widowed. It's not an easy time in a life, now whether you're younger or you're more mature. It's a very, very difficult process. Death is never easy, no matter who we lose. So this week I want to leave you with a song that's one of my ultimate favourites, and we're on the subject of death. It was a very, very special person that passed away on the 21st of this month, which will be 8 years. And I know a lot of people around the world are going to be, you know, celebrating, but also have a tear in their eye on the 21st of November as they sort of look back at the wonderful time and the legacy that the one and only David Cassidy left behind. So I think it's only fitting that we leave the show this week with one of his biggest hits, I Think I Love You. And, you know, there's not too many people on the planet that don't know that song from the Partridge Family days. And it's a beautiful song. It's a timeless song. And, you know, I want Patricia to sort of enjoy this song too, because to know that her husband still loves her. And for anybody out there that's going through a loss, just think of these bright, positive words and know that from the other side, they do still love you. And it's important to know that their physical body might have gone, but their spirit, their soul still lives on. They're still with us. They're still guiding us in ways and, you know, playing little tricks like turning lights on and off or the TV on and off or whatever. But it's their way of letting you know that they're close. So until next week, enjoy David Cassidy and one of my favourite songs ever, I Think I Love You. Bye for now.